15 and verses 1 to 11, page 1083 in the Pew Bibles. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Thanks be to God for that reading from his word. And it's no use looking in these verses for anything deeply profound. Like so much of Jesus' teaching, its problem is its simplicity and its straightforwardness. It's not the first time he gives a gardening lesson, and I'm sure it wasn't the last time he gave a gardening lesson. The issue was, how do his people bear fruit? How do his people bear fruit? How do they live lives characterized, if you like, by the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? How do we live lives where the Spirit's gifts are allowed to flow and be used for the mission of the church? Jesus says, let me give you a lesson from the vineyard. Think of me as being like the vine. Now, in Old Testament terms, you will know if you've read the prophets and so on, the vine is never used as a positive illustration of anything. When the prophets start talking about Israel as a vine, it means it's a rotten vine, a dead vine, a broken down vine. There's really not much hope for it. But Jesus is talking in positive terms here, saying it doesn't have to be like that. He says, imagine, I'm the vine. My father is the gardener, or vine tender, the man who looks after the vines, and whose responsibility it is to ensure that there is a harvest of good grapes at the end of the season. When he sees a branch that's bearing no fruit, he prunes it. He cuts it back, which looks painful. Perhaps indeed it is painful. But he cuts it back so that it will grow again, stronger, and able to bear fruit, the fruit that it's intended to bear. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Jesus is saying, we should never think we've got it all together. That we've got the whole package. We may feel God's done something wonderful through us. We've been given an opportunity to witness to our faith. We've been given an opportunity to serve somebody. We've been given an opportunity to do something to help others in the church or outside the church. But just at the time we feel, yippee, I've borne some fruit. Just after the grapes have been harvested, along comes the gardener and cuts the shoot back, knowing that that's what will encourage growth another year. Sometimes when things happen that are not what we would choose, we often rebel. We say, God, why have you done this to me? Why have you allowed this to happen? And the response is, give it time. You'll bear more fruit. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Because no branch can bear fruit by itself. A branch that isn't attached to the vine won't do anything. It will just lie on the ground and dry out and become just the stuff for a fire. But it will not produce fruit. You can't bear fruit, says Jesus, unless you remain in me. Look at the New Testament. Is the term that is used, especially in Paul, for a Christ follower. The word Christian hardly ever comes up in the New Testament, a couple of times in the Acts of the Apostles, and there it's a term of abuse, really, from the rest of the society. They're the Christians, they're the Christ followers. The word that is used over 150 times in Paul's writing to describe the Christian is not really a noun at all, because he talks about en Christo, in Christ. That's what it is to be what we should be. You can't describe us by a term that's a noun. We're described by a relationship. We're described by a connection in Christ. In Christ, we can bear fruit. Apart from Christ, we don't bear fruit. Sometimes, the gardener, where he got a healthy stock, but the branches weren't doing an awful lot on it, would sometimes take a branch from another vine and graft it onto the new vine. You can do this with apples and all sorts of things. It's how fruit are propagated, as you probably know. You take off a branch at its heel, you scrape back some of the bark on the receiving tree, and you connect the two together, you wrap them round, and you feed them and care for them, and in time, that branch can become part of the vine. Jesus is able to choose us and take us and engraft us into himself. In a sense, that's what he's done with each one of us. He has chosen to take us and engraft us into himself so that we are in Christ. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I him, he will bear much fruit. And he just repeats that point over and over again. I want you to get this. It's about living in me. But there's something more going on. What is it that allows the engrafted vine to become a strong, physical, fruit-bearing part of the vine? When they become connected, and it is that the branch draws on the sap that is in the vine. And I believe in this picture, we can not to do too much damage to it by seeing that, because he's just been talking about the Holy Spirit as Jesus, and the sap is like the Holy Spirit. When we're engrafted into Christ, his Spirit flows into us, and that's what produced the fruit. That's where the fruit come from. By our close proximity to Christ. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so Jesus says, have I loved you? Now remain in my love. What's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. What does Jesus go on to say here? If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. If we will love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, if we will seek to love others as much as he loves us, we're in him. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This morning, as we were thinking of Revelation, how the real issue is, where is our center? Who is our vine? Is it Christ, or is it in the world? If it's in Christ, we will produce the fruits of Christ. And if it's in the world, we will produce the fruits of the world. Church that is all social will produce social fruit. A church that is in the Spirit will produce spiritual fruit. Don't misunderstand me. When I say social in this context, I mean, many of them are dying out now, closing down. But there's a whole church tradition where the weekly jumble sale and the occasional dance and this, that sort of thing, the yearly pantomime. You talk to people in those churches and what their church is all about, what they do, and that's what they'll tell you. And they might well tell you as well how much money they raised. I knew somebody once who the whole of his Christian life seemed to be based around how much money had been made by the last money-making event. And the church was doing okay if it was making money. The church is closed now. But the church that church liked to criticize, because, oh, it was all prayer meetings and Bible studies, is the one which is still open with a flourishing young people's work, with people going out onto the mission field, reaching out through organisations like Safe Families for Children, like Tear Fund, like Street Pastors, like Christians Against Poverty. And there is a spiritual harvest. But it comes from staying close to Christ. We need to come close to Christ, so that the flow of the Spirit can be constant into us and through us and out from us. So that his joy may be in us and our joy may be full. Amen.